That is a Radio 3 recent play. That's Daft Punk with Digital Love. It's 26 minutes past nine. Halloween is on its way, and the Chinese University of Hong Kong, like anywhere else, has its share of ghost stories. Even sensible-looking academics from the Chinese University have been known to get nervous around the campus at night. Such legends are commonly dismissed as just a bit of fun. However, one academic, Dr. Joseph Bosco, takes them rather seriously. He's giving a talk on the cultural implications of ghost stories and what they reveal about the tension amongst students between their desire to be good and their attraction to the opposite sex. More of that shortly, but Dr. Bosco, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
The Chinese University is well known, I gather, as a really creepy place. Lots of gruesome stories coming out of the woodwork.
Well, I think most schools in Hong Kong have their share of ghost stories. And I think this is also part of the fear that students have as they're leaving the home. They start to project that fear on their local environment and see ghosts in places. And especially the older the school, the more ghosts they seem to have. So although I don't think the Chinese University is a creepy place, but maybe for some Hong Kong students, because of all the woods and all the leafy areas, it may be a little scary for them.
What sort of stories come to mind?
Well, one of the more famous stories is a story of a young, beautiful girl with a single braid at the back who can be seen late at night walking on this lonely path. And she's said to be the ghost of a young girl who was a refugee from China who jumped off the train close to Chinese University, and her braid got caught in the door, and then she died, losing her scalp in the process. When boys are said to go up to her at late at night to try to talk to her, she turns around and either reveals to have another braid in the front or no face at all. And that's, of course, very scary for them.
These stories are well known amongst students?
They all seem to know that particular one, for example, yes. And they all tell these stories at orientation every year.
Why do they come up at orientation? Just passing them on from one generation to another?
That's right. And I think they because they do capture something about the local student culture, I think that the older students, they're having a bit of fun. Many students will tell me that the male students like to tell the students to scare the female students. But there's also a certain wisdom in embedded in these stories, and that's the part that interests me.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, while others laugh at the stories, you take them rather seriously?
Well, I first started taking them seriously because my students were so interested in them. I would talk about things that I did research on in Taiwan, for example, on shamans and other religious phenomena, and students didn't seem to be too interested. They dutifully took notes, but nothing brought them as alive like talking about ghost stories. And they were willing to collect ghost stories from their peers. And then I started looking into these stories. Were like the story of the one that I just mentioned, of the braid. It's actually, from a Western point of view, a very strange story. And I said, what do you mean she has no face? Do you mean that it's all rotting off? I said, no. No eyes, no nose, no mouth. And I thought this was a very strange story. Many of the other stories from a Western point of view are actually, the symbolism is very difficult to understand. If we hear a story and we hear of a ghost being cold, like Casper, we understand. Cold, that's the opposite of being warm, so they're dead, so therefore they're cold. But no face? What does that mean?
So you got interested in the symbolism and you started to explore it?
That's right. And then I started to realize that many of the stories had what I didn't recognize initially, but actually I gradually realized were sort of a sexual element to them, mm-hmm. like the story of a young man going up to a woman who turned out to be a ghost. I mean, that shows that the young man is interested in the opposite sex, and yet when he goes up to this beautiful woman, she turns out to be a ghost. Now, I've asked students, I asked them, in the daytime, would you go up to a beautiful woman and start talking to her? And of course, they all say, no. But these stories are very powerful, and they're believable. They're very much like urban legends in the United States, where if you actually ask people to think about the elements of the urban legend, they'll realize, well, yeah, that doesn't really make sense. But they'll tell them and think, I don't know if this is true or not, but this is a really scary story.
But did you get recurring themes coming through in the symbolism?
Yes.
What sort of recurring themes?
Well, the main recurrent theme was the interest in the opposite sex. And you have this in another story about a ghost that delivers soup to a male student from a floor up above with a pulley, you know, with a rope. Now, soup is a symbol of domesticity. All good housewives in Hong Kong produce soup for their family. And I think that's really what... In the talk, I'll be giving more examples, and I'll have the actual texts of these stories so that people can analyze them for themselves.
We'll come back to the venue of the talk shortly, but was there a message in this for students?
Well, I'm not so sure that there's a message, except the same message that maybe urban legends in the United States have. And that is, in a sense, the danger of excessive interest in the opposite sex. In fact, some of the stories of the ghosts are male students who committed suicide over lost love. And that's obviously an excessive concern with love that leads to them destroying their life. But I think that what the reason the students tell the stories is because it allows them to manage this conflicting. The parents want them to study. The parents, in fact, many parents openly tell their children they do not want them to date while they're at university. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, of course, they're 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds. They're interested in the opposite sex. So these stories allow them to manage this tension that they have with
them. So there's this tension between their desire to work hard and do what their parents want them to do and a strong attraction to the opposite sex.
That's right. And they see this interest. I mean, of course, it's fostered by popular culture, and it's only natural at that age. And in fact, this is an old theme from Chinese ghost stories, even from the previous centuries.
Do you think students are really going to believe, though, that these stories have to do with their attitude to sex, to the opposite sex?
Well, in fact, that is a bit of a problem in that many of the students strongly deny that this is what they have, that this is what they're about. But I'm comfortable that this is what they're about, and I think that the reason they deny it is because, of course, you're telling students that, hey, you know, these stories really tell me that you're obsessed with sex, and of course they're going to deny that.
One more story before we go?
Well, there's one story that's very brief. There's a story of a head that floats into the room. Wow. And licks the feet of a male student, much to the horror of his roommate.
What does that tell you?
I think, well, of course, the foot in Chinese culture is a focus of erotic attention, and so that is actually one of the things that indicated to me that this was about sex.
And you'll be talking about this on Monday, the 29th of October, next Monday, at the ground floor lecture hall at 6:30 at the Hong Kong Museum of History in Chatham Road.
That's right.
Choi. Look forward to your talk, and I'm sure it'll get a lot of interest. Dr. Joseph Bosco, anthropologist at the Chinese University of Hong Kong, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
It's